The warrior queen strode out onto the veldt, hair swaying in time with her hips. She made no attempt at stealth, so confident in the abilities of her scouts that she felt no danger.
I feel as diffident about this as you, John, but we'll just have to go with it for now.
Ryan's right to go with it right now. I just wish we knew more about them.
The party left the confines of the charnel house clearing and entered the veldt, strung out in a line behind Gloria. As soon as they were out in the open, the atmosphere lightened. They were clear of death stench and the oppressive enclave of trees. The veldt itself was a beautiful sight by the light of the setting sun. The last rays of day stretching fingers of orange across the grassland. They were walking directly into the sun as it sunk beneath the horizon, and the warrior queen was outlined in silhouette, a shadow fanning out behind her to cover the first two of the party that followed, Jack in the lead, as he'd been following their exit from the forest. Mildred found strange significance in that the albino was absorbed by the woman's shadow, and she headed toward Christy, catching up to her.
Is it me, Christy, or have you noticed the way Gloria keeps looking at Jack?
Yeah, and that could cause us problems, right?
If you're thinking what I am, then it surely could. I don't know what the hell's bugging Jack, but it has something to do with whatever happened in the Mattrans jump, and somehow he thinks Gloria's involved. Because he sure as shit hadn't been looking at her the way she's been looking at him.
Right. And if she comes onto him and he freaks, then that could really put us in the shit. Which is exactly what we don't need right now.
So you think someone should mention this to Ryan? Just in case he hadn't noticed?
I'll talk to him about it when we're alone. He knows something's up, but whether he's picked up on this aspect... well, he'll know soon enough.
It was an uneventful trek across the veldt. As they continued along the trail, the light faded slowly into twilight, and the temperature dropped. The companions followed Gloria across the plain. The woman walked at a steady pace, seemingly untroubled by the possibility of any attack from man or beast as darkness fell. Her trust in her tribe sisters total, born of long experience, and the natural arrogance of one born and bred to lead. It was reflected in the lazy hip sway of her walk, which Ryan realized was deceptive when he looked back over the territory they'd covered. As they traversed the plain, the tribal warriors who dispersed to scout the territory assembled around their leader, forming a party that flanked the companions, offering them protection, but also hemming them in. Both JB and Ryan noted, with admiration and for future reference, that these women seemed to glide across the grass and slip in out of the shadows, seeming to join up with the main party as though from the very air itself. They were obviously well-trained and possessed natural grace. Margia, the blonde armorer of the tribe, was the last to join, appearing from the shadows and falling into step beside Doc.
Madam, I congratulate you on your companion's ability to deceive in the darkness.
You're a strange man, old one. You make me laugh, and I like that. It's going to be good having you around. Most men are dullards, and are only useful as pack horses and studs.
I fear that both functions may find me wanting.
Shut it, Marge.
Gloria suddenly caught Jack's eyes as he studied her from behind.
Whatever's worrying you, sweets, don't think about it until we reach camp.
Jack looked away without answering. They continued in silence for another 20 minutes before they came within sight of a clump of trees. It was a smaller wooded area than the forest the companions had traversed earlier that day, and barely visible in the darkening sky were small tendrils of smoke from a campfire.
Stupid works, men. They never learn. Never! The only safety is invisibility.
What do you expect? Only good for two things.
Oh, don't be so harsh, Margia. Peter and John are in trust with the fires, and they're still only boys.
Tell that to us when we have our bastard throats cut.
Enough! I'll deal with it soon enough. Best just to get home first.
The camp was set within a clearing that had been hacked into the heart of the wooded area. The Gay tribe had carefully enlarged it to form space enough for them to set up camp. Apart from the few telltale wisps of pale smoke that curled into the night sky, there was no indication of the camp until they were actually in it. The clearing was lit by oil lamps and blazing torches, but those were shielded on one side by small metal and foil baffles that reflected light inward and prevented it from leaking beyond the boundaries of the camp. In the same way, the fire was protected by a series of canvas baffles that kept the heat within a small area, and also directed the smoke into the woods rather than directly upward. For this reason, the fire was on the opposite side of where they entered the camp, allowing the baffling to form a chimney that twisted off to one side and over the lamps. The gate people themselves were gathered near the fire, apart from those who were keeping watch. They were nowhere in view, but the companions all knew that there was a strong guard presence, invisible in the darkness outside the camp. All the women were dressed the same way, brief and practical, but in such a way as to leave no doubt that they were all highly trained and fit, with rippling musculature and fine bone structures. Few women were over 5.5 feet, and many of them showed the same fine bone structure and svelte petiteness of their queen. The men, on the other hand, looked sturdier. There were, at first glance, about half as many men as women in the tribe, and all the males were heavily muscled with well-developed legs and arms. They seemed to have a wider gene pool than the women, as there were Slavic and Celtic as well as Mediterranean features spread about the group.
My dear boy, this is a lesson in practical survival among a nomadic people.
What, Doc?
Well, young Cotter, I suspect that the women here have always been dominant, and by some instinct or received knowledge have realized that they need to keep a wide range of types within the tribe, and so have picked up these men along the way to stop their race degenerating. Furthermore, you will notice that the women are more heavily armed, and their musculature is formed by combat training as opposed to heavy work. I would surmise that they are the warriors, and that the men are subordinate and used purely for maintenance. It is interesting that the men are content with this, which is something you don't find often. Oh.
Doc stopped short as he realized that his lecture to Dean had become too long and rambling, and had attracted others' attention. Several of those gathered around the fire had turned to him. Ryan was watching with a wry smile, while Mildred was trying to hide her obvious exasperation. JB and Christy were both pretending to look elsewhere, while the Amazons who'd accompanied them were trying not to laugh, and were looking to their leader for their cue. Gloria was watching the old man with her lopsided grin, and it was only Jack who appeared not to notice. He was too concerned with taking in his surroundings, oblivious to all except his own concerns.
Hey, not bad for a man. You've got something up here, if not down there.
Madam, as if it were not enough that you listen in on a private conversation, you then have the temerity to make free with portions of my anatomy that you have no right to...
Okay, Doc, we get the idea.
Everybody, these newcomers are good warriors. They have a quest, and they'll join us for part of the journey. May they find their own path as we find ours. Maybe the paths converge. Maybe they part later. Until such time, they'll be with us. Make them welcome. Now, people, come, sit and eat. Be our guests. Then we will talk.
They followed Gloria to the fire, where they were welcomed into the loose semicircle formed by the tribal members. There were about 50 seated around the fire, and from the conversation, Ryan was able to estimate that there were another 6 or 7 women who were hidden in the woods keeping watch. They would shortly be relieved and take their place by the warming fire. Looking around, Cotter could see how they'd managed to construct their camp. They kept some pack animals away from the fire. A large pot hung over the fire, issuing an aroma that was mouth-watering, and the food they were given in light plastic bowls consisted of a stew made from roots and small mammals, flavored and spiced with wild herbs. It certainly made a change from self-heats, which was what they had initially intended on eating. There were a number of tents in the camp, laid out in a horseshoe formation that began at the edge of the seating area by the fire. A path break had been left down the encampment center, down which they'd been led on entry. The tents were a mixture of plundered pre-dark camping tents and some constructed from material scavenged and bartered along the way. Canvas and artificial materials had been dyed and painted in dark colors to blend into the twilight of the camp. Tubular frames made of lightweight aluminum and toughened plastic supported the tents, which were mostly for habitation, but a few were obviously used for storing what supplies they carried and for the armory. JB's wire-framed spectacles glinted in the firelight as they ate, and Ryan could tell from the slow rhythm of the reflections that the armorer was also casting an appraising eye around the camp. These people were their allies for now, but to know their strength as allies or foes was equally important. When they'd eaten their fill, Gloria turned to Jack.
You feel safer now, sweetie?
Never feel safe. Safe means chilled.
That's one way of looking at things. I guess we don't quite see it that way. We're safe in here because we have trust in our scouts. We have to have trust in one another, because our community lives and dies by that. That's the way we've always lived.
We trust one another. We've been through a lot together. But we don't know you, which is why maybe Jack doesn't trust you.
Do you?
Would you?